Start here. I would like to was handed this piece of paper. We have a special prayer request this evening for Julie Benson. This lady has lung cancer. Last night she went into the hospital. She's had cancer for 7 years. First breast cancer, then liver cancer, and now she has lung cancer. She has two kids. 16 years old and 23 years old, and I guess if we could just remember this person in our prayers this evening, be greatly appreciated. Why don't we start this evening with number 283. This evening, I'm going to go back to the cross, together we are going to go back to the cross, maybe I should say, and we're going to see what Christ did for us, how Christ died for our sins, so that we can go to heaven. And at the end of this song, it says, "And now I am happy all the day," so that we can have a joy in our lives. We don't have to worry about what's after death, like Denny was talking about last night. We can know that we're going to be spending eternity with Christ in heaven. And before we get started here, why don't we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for another great day here at the conference, and thank you for the messages that have gone out throughout the day and will continue to go out tonight and tomorrow, Lord willing. And I pray that if there's anyone here this evening that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would convict them through your word. And I pray that you would give myself and Brad the words to say this evening so that we can speak clearly of what you want us to say. And I also pray for Julie Benson this evening, Lord, that you would be with her and her family and help her to get through this trial. And that may she have peace with you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Why don't we turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 15. This evening I'm going to kind of go through, for the first part of the meeting I'm going to be talking and Brad here is going to take the other part. But I wanted to just go through for if there would be anybody here who hasn't heard the story of Christ and what he did for us. I'm assuming most, if not all of us have, or possibly everybody, probably everybody, but if you haven't believed it, I just want you to think about this was the Son of God. He came to earth for this purpose, to die for us. And if you think about that and think he could have stayed up in heaven with the Father, never come to earth, and let man live their pointless existence without him, and we all would have ended up in hell where we belong because we are all sinners. But Christ came, and as we're going to read here, he died on the cross. A horrible death. The death for people who were murderers or robbers, but not for the Son of God. The death that we deserve because we sinned. I'm just going to start reading in Mark chapter 15, verse 16. We're kind of starting here a little bit in the middle of the story, but this is after Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate has turned him over to basically the mob of people that are trying to get him to do what they want him to do. And he has basically said, just take him and do whatever you're going to do, because it doesn't seem like I'm going to stop you. And the soldiers took him away into the palace, and they called together the whole Roman cohort, and they dressed him up in purple, and after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to acclaim, "Hail the King of the Jews!" And they kept beating his head with a reed, and spitting at him, and kneeling and bowing before him. And they kept, and after they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, and his garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him. So here we have Jesus, again, the Son of God. He is accused of saying he's God, which he is. But nobody wants to believe him because he didn't come the way that the children of Israel thought he should have come. They thought he should come as a great king coming to save him, to save the nation. And here he was born, as we think about Christmas, he was born in a manger. And wasn't some great high king or anything. Just a lowly little son of a carpenter. And so after living on this earth for 33 years, roughly, I guess, and healing many people, never doing anything wrong, but the Jews being upset that he says that he is the Son of God, they've taken him, put purple on him, which was apparently a royal color back then, and for his crown, they weaved a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They started beating it into his head. And I don't know if any of you have ever been pricked by a thorn or anything, but it doesn't feel very good. And the way I understand it, these weren't just short little thorns. These things were long. And they started beating it into his head, spitting at him, mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." I just want you to think about this. Realize, if you don't believe this, who this really is. And realizing what Christ did for you. The love that he was showing to all mankind. It's not what we deserved. And those of us who believe, which thankfully is most of us in this room, we know that since Christ did this for us, we're going to heaven. But why don't we continue reading here? We're going to kind of skip ahead a little bit. We're going to start at verse 25. And they've taken him up to the hill that they're going to crucify him on. And verse 25, "It was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' And they crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, 'He saved others, and he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe.' And those who were crucified with him were casting the same insult at him. And when the sixth hour had come, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is translated, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And when some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, 'Behold, he is calling for Elijah.' And some ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave him a drink, saying, 'Let us see whether Elijah comes to take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last." and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So here we have the first few verses, more of Christ's physical suffering, more of the suffering that man has done to him by hanging him on a cross, nailing his hands and his feet so he would slowly suffocate and die. But as was brought out by Denny last night in verse 34, we have the real torment that Christ suffered, God turning his back on him. We as humans can't really even understand this part of it, fully anyway, of having the God of the universe and his Father turning his back on him, saying, I can't even look at you, because Christ had taken on the sin of the entire world. All of our sin. Sin that I've committed, sin that everybody's committed. And then the other part I wanted to talk about here in verse 38. And the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. This is another great part about this. We no longer have to worry about going through a priest to talk to God. We can go directly to him. Because Christ's work on the cross completed all of that for us. Everything that we need, we have. We have full access to God the Father if we're willing to accept what Christ did here. If you just want to accept this as some story and, yeah, okay, maybe it happened, but, you know, who really cares? Well, it's not really that simple. You're going to find out someday, if you choose to go on throughout your life denying it, that whether Christ returns or you die in your sin, that it's going to be you that's going to have God turn his back on you. Say, you wouldn't accept what I did for you, and you're going to have to pay the penalty for your own sins, which is eternity in the lake of fire. And it's not something that really is enjoyable to talk about, because it's not where we feel like we belong. And we don't have to go there if we just accept Christ hanging on that cross, dying for us. He did everything for us. And let's jump ahead to chapter 16. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 6 here. And then when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, and they might come anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, came to the tomb where the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us, the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe. And they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. What the Jews were looking for on the cross, for him to take himself down, for him to not have to go through it, well, Christ finished it, and he rose from the dead, which is far more amazing than the thing they were looking for, of him to just pull himself down from the cross. He conquered death. In the same way that we can conquer death by giving ourselves eternal life, believing in the Son of God, believing that he died on the cross for the sins of me, for you, and for everyone who will accept it. Like we had in Acts 16:31 last night. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's that simple. Believe what He did. It's not a tough thing to do. It's not a long class you got to sit through. It's a simple, easy prayer asking Christ to take over your life and let you, and then you can start living for Him so that you can have that joy here on earth and have that peace so you know where you're going after you die. Or why don't we, I would like to read one verse in Romans 5:1, kind of relating to that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, believing in what He did, we can have peace. That's all it takes. It's a very serious thing for us to think about and consider. And I guess my prayer for everyone who does not believe it here and elsewhere is that you would understand it, that you would come to that realization that the world isn't all about me, the world isn't all about what I do, but it's about what Christ did for you and how you can start living for Him. And start growing in His reading, understanding His Word, and growing in your faith so that you can have more of that joy that Christ has to offer for us. And that's all I had this evening. And Brad here is going to talk more about, something.
Well, to me, that was the something. There's not much more I feel like I need to say, because that is, I don't know where to start with it. But what an awesome God we serve. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2. Now, when me and Dustin, we started going through this together, the Word of God always amazes me the more and more that I get in it. And that is kind of my challenge tonight, is to be in the Word of God. And kind of what Brian Jones had the first night, he helped me understand what I wanted to get at more. He started out with those three types of people. There was the unsaved people. There was those Christians who aren't really doing anything. And then there's those who are really living for Christ, which is what we should be striving for. And so I just challenge those who are not saved and those who are, I guess we could call them stationary Christians. We know what God has to say, but are we living it? Are we doing what He has for us to do? And it's all part of our plan to figure out God's will for our life. And the more people I've talked to, I always feel like, oh, I'm the only one who doesn't know what's going on, what will is for my life. But I've talked to people who are 60 and 70, they say, I don't know either. And so the more we are in God's Word, the more we understand what He has for us. So let's, and it may sound like I'm repeating myself tonight because there's a lot of these verses have to do, they all kind of sound alike, but you know what, they're in here for a reason. if they were in here and they just repeated themselves and they didn't mean to be in here. That's not how it was meant to be. They're meant to be here. This is the Word of God, and it is amazing. And if you let it speak to you and let it live in your life, I am still trying, and I hope you will find out that it can work miracles. So let's start in 2 Timothy 2, and we will start with verse 15. And I just want you to think about where, and Denny kind of asked the question last night, but maybe I'll rephrase it. Where are you with God tonight? How are you? What is your state with God? Are you far away from God? Are you saved, but you feel like you're not doing anything for God? So, just keep that in mind as we read these verses, and just let them speak to you. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the Master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, and peace, and those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish, ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. In verse 19, we read, everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. There is not one exception there. That is sin. And we as believers are to abstain from wickedness as a whole. And that's a challenge. Just think about your daily life and how many trials we go through, how many temptations we have. The more you think about it, the more you realize that the devil is really at work and that he really wants you to trip up. But it all starts at the cross, and it all starts here in God's Word. How we prepare ourselves every single morning, every single day. It's not a I go to church on Sunday and that is good for the week. It's every day. Let's go to 1 Timothy now. If you want to read something encouraging, I challenge you to read the 1 and 2 Timothy. He worked with Paul in his missions work, and from what I understand, he was a younger guy. And these are letters that Paul has written to Timothy, encouraging him to be firm and to always listen to what God has. Timothy had to deal with a lot of false teachers, and Paul just wanted to make sure, he says, and he even talked about it back there, about false teachings coming in. And just 1 Timothy, if you can put yourself in Timothy's shoes, it really is an encouraging book to read, and it's a challenge. And that's kind of what my goal was tonight, and Dustin's goal is to challenge you. Denny last night came up with questions, but I just want to give you a challenge, and a challenge to me, and a challenge to Dustin. This is a challenge for everybody to be living a life of honor to God. So let's, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. And that is the enjoyment of staying close to God. He will richly supply you. Not necessarily with riches, but in the light of what the Lord can bless us with, money is nothing. It is nothing. What God gives us, the love that He shows us, surpasses anything this world has to offer. Now, I started getting challenged when I got a book, and it was titled Worldliness. So I read this book, and don't read it if you don't want a challenge, because it will challenge you. And in the first chapter of that book, it mentioned the Jefferson Bible. I don't know how many people of you were familiar with it, but I wasn't. And I looked it up, and it was a Bible composed by Thomas Jefferson. And what he did was he got out his pair of scissors and he went to the Bible and he clipped out his verses that he wanted. And part of it read, when he did the, when he talked about what Dustin had read about, the crucifixion, he included the crucifixion and he included the burial, but he left out everything about the resurrection. And so that was a challenge to me, not to cut my Bible up, but it was a challenge to, and I want to challenge you with it, are we doing the same thing? And I'll explain. Let's go to 1 John 2. verse 15. And I'm sure many of you have heard this, but it says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It used that verse and it challenged, do you have that in your Bible? Sometimes we can go through life and we see things, we listen to things, and we accept things into our life that I guarantee you we could open up our Bible and find a verse that says this is not what God would have us to do. So I want to challenge you that do you consider this a verse in your Bible? Do you ignore it? Do we excuse it? I know I'm guilty of that. I sometimes find myself after the fact thinking, why did I do that? I've read in God's Word so many times that that's not what I should be doing. And if we go through that every day, the challenges of everyday life, we have so many things that God has commanded us not to do. And let's go to a couple more. Romans 12. And this doesn't necessarily list off things to abstain from like we have in the other books, but I just wanted to read this as a challenge to be acceptable to God, as it says in this verse. So we're going to read the first two verses of Romans 12. Verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Dustin talked about how to be transformed. It was accepting that Christ's work on the cross paid for your sins, for my sins, and that belief through Him is what can get us to heaven. And that is the only way. So I pray that if your mind has not been transformed, that it would be. And that, as in verse 1, present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. That is a challenge. How every day to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Sometimes I can't even understand what you get overwhelmed how to start presenting your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. That covers so many things. So how are we to go about in this world if we have all these things we're to abstain from? We're here in this world. God put us here. And while He created us perfect, we messed up. So how do we as Christians these days go about in this world? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And a lot of these verses we've had, I've had to make sure my notes were still in my Bible because sometimes people would read the exact verses I wanted to read. But so a lot of this we've read, but God didn't put it in here to read it once and shut it. It's here to challenge us every day, every hour, every minute. Galatians 5, starting with verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another or envying one another. It starts off by listing off a lot of the things that we do see in the world today. And we had that list. But in verse 16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now we know that, you know, we still sin after we're saved. But it says, walk by the Spirit. So that's a challenge. Are you walking by the Spirit? If we are still remaining in this sin, our walk must not be right with the Spirit, right with God, right next to Him. But in verse 22, we have the fruits of the Spirit. And a challenge that I had earlier this year that I kind of failed to keep going on is to portray one fruit of the Spirit each day. And so, let me tell you what, when you first try to do that, you really notice it. I tried to show love to everybody I saw. And let me tell you what, I realized how much I sometimes don't show that love to them on an everyday basis. And it was a challenge. And my prayer is that through that love, through that joy, through that peace, through that patience, through all those that you show, that they will see that you love God, that you desire to serve God, and that He is the ruler of your life. Now those who belong to Christ have been crucified in the flesh with its passions and desires. I hope, believers, that we can honestly say in our state right now as believers that, yes, I have. I have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We should not desire that anymore. And it's really been a challenge going through this is how much do I often sometimes long for those passions and desires? How much are we tempted with those? We give in. But if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, and the Lord will be with you with that. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And I know this is a lot of verses, but it's a lot of verses that we're reading, but I don't want what I say to convict you. I want the Word of God to convict you, to be real in your life. And it is really what we read is God's Word to you. Not just what Paul had to write to the Ephesians, not some how are you doing letter. It is to the Ephesians, yes, but it's also to us as people. Let's start with verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral and pure person or covetous man who is an idolater has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Lord, or the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. What a challenge. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Think of every small thing in your life, it helped me to challenge everything I did. And it's still a challenge to me. How are we honoring God? Are we honoring God? And what is the best way that we can? What needs to be taken out in our life? And in verse 8 was really the challenge. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And in Ephesians 6, we have what I believe is the first step every day is the armor of God. Do you put on that armor of God every day? And how do we? That's been a question I've had for a long time. How do we put on the armor of God? But by being in His Word, by being equipped every day with what God has for us, we will have that armor with us. Denny last night, it amazes me, he talks and he rattles off verses just like that. And that's part of it, is memorizing God's Word. and we need to know God's Word. For when we come up to people and they ask us about what we believe, why we believe it, we need to know God's Word. We need to have it in our hearts. Now, we've read a lot of stuff and a lot of things that have said, do not do this, do not do this, and do not do this. But what we can learn from this, and I hope that someday we all will be able to realize it, and even myself, but there is nothing better than to be a child of God. Nothing better to strive after, nothing better to want to have than to be a child of God. And I hope that we all can just have that same desire, have that desire burning in us every day, not once a week, twice a week, but every day. And to young people and old people, let's challenge each other. Be accountable to each other. And let's really set the bar high for each other. And it's beautiful to see a body of Christ come together to work together for the honor of God. And so let's look at a couple more verses. Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 2. Now with this, we're kind of making the full circle and we're coming back to what Dustin had talked about. Well, let's read it. We're just going to read the first 11 verses of Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of God, of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you done that? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Is he your Lord today? Verse 7 and 8 talk about what Dustin had said. He came down as a man and he humbled himself. The form of a bond servant. The Son of God, a bond servant. Are we servants of God today? And if so, what does it take to be a servant? How are we acting as servants of God? I just challenge you with that. That's an everyday challenge I have, and I just want to challenge you. How can we every day be better and better servants for the Lord? And I just want to look at one more verse. Let's turn to Psalms 139. And I hope that, much like in Philippians, those verses, that these verses is the prayer of us all. Verses 23 and 24 of Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let us have that as our prayer. Every day, allow Him to search you and to know you. Does He know you? Of course He does. But do you know Him? So, as we go back and we look at what Dustin had talked about the cross. As we live on this earth, it's hard, it is, to stay away from the things of this world. We can get bogged down really easy. But, as believers, let's keep our focus on the cross. Let's look back at the cross and see it as what's to come, as eternity with Jesus. What a wonderful thing we have, and what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. Let's serve Him. Let's sing number 121. I know in another different hymn book that we have, it says at the end, demands my soul, my life, my heart, my all. And that really sums it up right there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We can't express enough how thankful we are for what You've done for us, for that love, for that death on the cross. We thank You for it, and we pray that we would all have a desire to live our lives for You, to shine our light, and not be afraid to tell people that what You've done in our lives. And I pray for those tonight that do not know You, that You would just work in them. And I just pray for them that they would come to know You before it's too late. Lord, we pray for Julie Benson tonight. We pray for her that You would give her peace and that You would be with her through this trial and help everyone in this room with the trials that they have, the troubles that they go through daily. Lord, be with them and help us. Help us to come to You with our needs, because we know You will listen to us, and we thank You for that. And we just thank You most of all for Your love. In Your name, amen.